Yes, een goede fijne avond of ochtend of middag. It depends on which time you're listening to this podcast. We zijn nu terug met een nieuwe episode van de Optimist Podcast. En we zijn vandaag met Marlon, mijn persoon, en we hebben een gast. Maar we gaan haar de prijs nog niet geven. Zij is een jonge ondernemer of onderneemster. Zij heeft 2 kinderen, ze is mama van 2. En we hebben meer vragen, maar dat zullen we haar vragen. We gaan hierbij dan de aflevering starten. Net een kleine intro gedaan. Marlon, zou jij willen starten of kan de gast zichzelf introduceren? Wat zeg jij?
Ik zeg dat this guest doesn't need an introduction. It'll be more, it's more of an honor if she does it. So, okay.
Then the guest shall answer the call. You mag jezelf introduceren. Wat zegt u vandaag? Hoe u heet? Wat is uw achtergrond? Ja.
Hallo, everyone.
Hallo.
Hoor je me?
Ja, ik hoor je perfect. Hoor jij mee?
Ja, ik hoor je.
Oké, thank you.
Ik ben Ingrid Peters. 28 jaar jong. Onderneemster en ook moeder van 2. Net als wat je daar net aanhaalde.
That's it?
A little bit about it. Yeah.
Ik dacht dat er een langere intro zou komen. Ik denk net zo wacht op de vragen, Marlon.
She's playing coy right now.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because she came from Legends, man.
Okay.
I was lucky enough to know her.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask the question. Like, tell us the beginning of Ingrid and how she grew up. Like, tell us that story.
Okay, so growing up, I was in a household of 3, my mom, my dad together. And it was a solid home. It was a solid environment. And what can I say?
Okay, so tell me who you were as a kid. Was Ingrid in school? Like, what kind of kid was she? Was she the kid that was like, you know, the kid at the back of the classroom who doesn't say nothing? Like, she's all silent? Or was she the kid always fights with the teacher? Like, you know, the teacher says something, she's gonna be the one like, "Hey, vrouw, asan ano soyere manas lehos er we was Ingrid of the school banker."
So, I actually started out as the smart kid in the class.
Okay, super nerd done.
Yeah, always in front, always talking to the teachers. You know, like, as we would say, like, you know, the teacher's pet. But I was not intentionally the teacher's pet, because ik was altijd leergierig. Always wanted to know something. Like, one answer wasn't enough. So I was always up in front and center. I love challenging myself to see how fast I can get my homework done and stuff like that. So when it came to school, I was very, like, you know, spontaneous about it. And that's about it.
Okay. I thought I would hear a whole long story, but it's fine. We'll get there. Maybe with the right questions. Okay.
Yes.
So school, it was like leergierig. It was always eager to learn. to give answers to the questions. So basically would say what we say in Dutch, een hand to the voorste.
Yeah, that's about it.
Ah, okay. And was this like throughout your whole, like through your whole school career, or was it just the first part?
Okay, so now we're getting down to the real question.
Yeah.
Okay, so most of the time I would be like that, but I was like a moody kind of girl. You know, I was very sensitive to certain things. So throughout time, I grew a lot of friendships, but then I learned a lot. And then I also lost a lot of friendships. So I started to like isolate myself. And after a few years, I got to know that just being an introvert, I got the cool name. So, you know, the introvert. I was actually introverted after a while. So like I was still spontaneous, but I pulled it back a bit. So during lunch breaks, I would usually like sometimes sit alone, do something alone, you know, like very pulled back.
Certain years you would see me like, being, you know,
extra active, talkative and stuff like that. But other years that came after that, I became really quiet, actually. I fell to the...
That means you live the south.
Sorry for one moment. Marlon, can you get closer to the mic?
Better now?
Yeah.
Mm. So this means she lived up on both sides of knowing, because the way that you're giving us this story now, it's sounding like almost like she was the go-to friend in school, like the go-to kid, I don't want to say popular, but that's what it sounds like. And she lived both sides of it, being the kid who is everyone go-to friend, and then the kid who doesn't want to be noticed at all. And I can almost say I can relate to that. In school, I was always the guy who didn't say much. I was extremely introverted in school, and didn't have much friends. But the friends that I did have were always the class clowns, always the dudes who had the loudest mouths, who, you know, the troublemakers.
Dudes like
so,
me.
Yeah, man, we were always around troublemakers, and for some reason, I sit down and think like, what are you even doing here? Like, who invited you to this club, bro? So, in a way, you said you love challenges in school. Does it mean that you were really competitive?
Yeah, I'm really a competitive person. But not like a serious competitive person. I'm like a fun competitive person. I don't always take competitiveness like when it comes to sports or when it comes to like, you know, seeing who could get their work done the fastest in the classroom, you know, stuff like that. Artwork, projects, stuff like that, you know. I was really competitive, but in a fun way, but not in a serious way that I would like beat myself up if it didn't, you know, go to how I expected it.
Okay, so I take it that when you say competitive, thank you. It was on the tip of my tongue. I was just, my train of thought just lost on rails, but anyhow. Okay, you say competitive on a playful way, you mean like if you know you can do it, you will do it, but you will not break a leg doing it. Is that what you mean? I mean, breaking leg is figurative of speech, meaning...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You could put it in that perspective as well.
Okay, I see. And has that been effective, like the last part of your school, or just general, like that was you?
In general, from okay. from the start to finish, it was in general like that.
Oh, okay.
I've always been eager to, like, you know, do something, even if it was sports, even mm-hmm. even if it was like I did cheerleading, oh, I did really? Soccer,
mm-hmm.
I did volleyball. Like in every phase of school, like an level, I tried to do something.
Okay, this seems very familiar. Let me ask you this. So everything you have right now in your life, is it because someone said to you, like, oh, it might not be done, and you were like, okay, I can do it, I'm gonna show you.
About that, but I actually try to challenge myself more.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
I see. Marlon? It
comes from myself, like within.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I see that part.
So even if someone doesn't tell me that,
mm-hmm.
initiatively, like, I would just want to do that to see if I can do that.
Thank you. Applause for that, please. let's get applause for that. I wish I had a button for the applause. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Why I was asking that, because we need, basically, this is why we're doing this podcast, is to bring it out and to tell people, like, hey, you're not supposed to wait. If you feel like you want to do it, you want to challenge yourself for doing something, then do it. Like, I'm talking about positive things here. I'm not saying challenging, hey, I want to rob a guy or something. No, we're not talking about those things. We're talking about very positive things. Like, change your mindset, change your perspective, get something done. And why I was asking you that question is because in my storyline or my story that I have is that yeah. someone said, like, for instance, let me give you an example. So the school that I went, Milo School, Wageningen. So there were like some students talking, and they were from the third grade, like theater class. And they said to us, like, yo, don't beat yourself up. You're not going to get it. The Latinx exam is not for you guys, basically. It's just a test, you know, to get to the field, to tip your toes in the cold water. And I was like, are you sure? And he was like, yeah. Why would you do it? Like, in my time and the time before me, and the guys that I know, my friends, they never made it. They never made it. I was like, okay. Cool. I see what you did there, and I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to pick it up to myself as a challenge, and I'm going to show you guys that I will get those grades. And believe you not,
yeah.
I did it. And when I did it, they couldn't say anything. We're like, oh no, you're lucky and stuff. I was like, nah, that ain't luck, man. Like, look at my grades. With this, I can jump to another, like, I commit. Like, there is a opportunity to jump from the third grade all the way to
yeah.
So I didn't jump because I wanted my diploma. I was like, nah. It's, if I can get to Latin, nah, it's fine. I just did it for fun because it can be done. That's why I did it.
Yeah.
And I got
mm-hmm. I actually have a similar experience to that.
Ah. Cool.
But it was a different perspective.
Okay. So that's
in a
uh-huh.
We were actually preparing, because you know, usually they do like the prep stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we were doing it, and I actually looked at it. I was like, what if I got this?
Mm-hmm.
What like, if? You know, what if I what if? It just came to me like a what if. So mm-hmm. I studied, you know, I put some work in. I eventually, you know, had this like 50-50, like it's gonna go, it's not gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and when I ended up at school, the teacher said from our class, like for the students, out of like 24, only 3 got it.
Yes.
And I was like, exactly. Wow. And I, in my mind, I already knew like the 3 smartest kids. I already knew who mm-hmm. they were.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I categorized myself as smart, but like, you know, the smart where, you know, like, yo, is gegarandeerd dat zij in het zijn.
Yeah,
klaar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when I got my results, I looked at it and I was like,
well, damn.
Hoe ben ik gebakt met zulke cijfers? Ik zeg iets klopt niet. Het drong nog steeds niet tot me door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, omdat ik zo enthousiast was kijken naar mijn cijfers, maar dan ben ik echt like, wacht even. You know. Dus dan ga ik dan naar mijn onderdirecteur.
Oh ja.
Ja. En I go there and I'm like, meneer, mag ik u iets vragen? What does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh ja, yeah, je hebt het gehaald. I was like, what? Like, ja, twee pakketten. I'm like, what? So yeah. I looked at it and I was like, yo, the what if was really like a what if. Because even if I don't want to jump, I have it like a backing. En mm-hmm. toen ik de vierde Milo was, ben ik gewoon gegaan en heb ik volgens mij vier pakketten gehaald.
Yep. Yep.
Dus ik dacht bij mezelf van, yeah, it was just the what if for me. En mm-hmm. in de meeste gevallen is het ook zo.
Yeah. Yep. So that's why I was asking you that question, like, mm-hmm. about the challenge and stuff. So I should applaud you for bringing that out and pointing it out that that's one of your, they say, character trekken, as in English you say characteristics, yeah?
Yeah.
And yeah.
You sound like you were really active during school a lot, and it sounded, especially when you were talking about the what if, I think that's you sounded like a kid or a young girl who was always introspective, like you always thought a lot up there, you lived a lot in your head, but at the same time you did a lot of self-evaluation, like who am I, what does it did can do, or what, you know, stuff like that. And for me it's like other people can't see what you can see, and you can't see what they can see outside. They don't know your potential, and you won't know it until they push you towards it sometimes, because it's all perspective. People look at you sometimes, they're like, I don't know, man. And it takes a lot sometimes with the group that you're in, especially the people who influence you a lot, the friends that you have around you. And I'm wondering, like, who are your friends in school who inspired you a lot? Like, who are the people that you looked up to?
Well, in all honesty, the starting stages of my school life, I didn't really look up to anybody. But
nobody?
No. I think it started around high school. Maybe around high school it started.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see like the smart kids.
Mm-hmm.
But you see like the genuine smart kids. You know, the ones that are genuine, the ones that are fun to be around, but they're also smart. You know, those were the type of kids that I would actually like to hang around with eventually. Yeah, because I don't like to mix a lot where the energy doesn't flow.
Oh, so you're an energy girl. So if you guys can connect.
If we can click, it's way easier for me to interact with you. So I basically always moved with a vibe, to put it that way.
This girl is a whole vibe, I tell you, Tev.
Yes, there you might be hearing sound in the background, so that's why I do not interact too much. But yeah, I've heard. Oh, you don't hear it? Okay, that's good.
No,
that's good.
Absolutely not.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, but I also have to talk really loud to mask the sound, so bear with me. And another thing is that she is also, I see like a lot of similarities, like in characters, as in how to motivate yourself and not look at to others. It's not that you're not looking up to others, it's just to the fact that you're so motivated to do what you want that you don't really have someone that should motivate you, if I'm correct, or is it just me.
Again, can you rephrase that for us?
Okay. What I'm seeing is that she's so motivated. Like her character is not, her personality is not the person that's really in need of a motivator. I think things motivate her, like vibes, certain ideas. And what's Natsuok say? What if? Like she's thinking of something like, hey, what if I do this? What if this happens? What will happen then? And that motivates her for progressing towards her goal, towards her journey. So I was just rephrasing what I heard. So let me know if I'm correct, Ingrid.
Yeah.
So, okay, for me, what gets me going is the place that I came from and where I want to go. Like that what makes me wake up every morning. I think that's the most important thing because look, I don't have kids, and sometimes it's important when you have people that can count on you and they're counting on you all the time. But especially when you come up from a place where you live like this rebellious life and you don't care, whatever, sooner or later life is gonna hit you and you're gonna have to own up to it and say, like, you know, there's certain people who are counting on me now, especially if you're a mom or a dad now. But in my younger years, I can't really say what motivated me. I don't know what it was for you. Tell me what motivated you and your kids.
Okay, what actually motivated me in my younger years is just trying to get a step ahead. Because my mom actually always had the perspective of, you got to get up and go get it. Like, she always said that, but I didn't really understand it. And one thing about me, I never like sitting around. I don't want to feel like I'm bothering people. And, you know, So at a very young age, I got up and started working. I used to get an allowance, but it was like, for me, not enough. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna go work. So I started working when I was 15.
Whoa, wait. So, okay, let's jump into that. What was your first job?
First job?
And what did you expect it to be? Because a lot of teenagers are like, okay, when I start making money, I'm gonna work this and that job. And life is gonna be like this. But you started chasing it at a young age. So you must have had like this picture in your mind, like, okay, ik ga ervoor werken, and this is how it's gonna look like. And tell us what the first experience was at your first job.
Okay, so my first job actually came because, in all honesty, my parents were mad at me that I didn't get the school year. Like, I didn't go to the other class. So they were mad at me. And my mom just, like, she told me, like, I'm not going to buy you anything. You know, those type of parents mm-hmm. that be like, you know, you're going to go to school with your old stuff. I knew she didn't mean it.
Hell, all the rest.
I knew she didn't mean it. But I was like, no, you're not going to tell me that. Because now I feel some type of way. So now I'm going to go get it. And that's how it started. So I went to her and I was like, yo, I'm going to go look for a job. And she was like, really? But then she actually saw the challenge as well. And she accepted it. And I was like, okay, cool. So I got a job and I was like, okay, I need to make this amount of money. And I literally bought everything for myself for that school year.
Yo!
Literally. I still have my bag that I bought from that school year just because I felt like I accomplished something. And it kept on going like that. And it kept on going to a rate because my first job, it was really bad, like, in all honesty.
Okay, tell us about
that. And they were underpaying us with extra hours. Like, we're supposed to work 8 hours. We're working 9 without even knowing it because you have to get there. You have to sweep, you have to mop out and do all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't really in our brains like, yo, what's going on? And you actually just have to sneak into the back and eat and come back because you always have to be available.
Er was geen schaftentijd.
No. Je krijgt niet echt tijd om te schaften. Je mag gaan plassen, je mag gaan eten, maar je bent gewoon continu in de winkel. So when I got that money, I was like, that was hard earned money. So I was like, no. Nah. So when I actually went to bought my school stuff, I was like, yo, you actually did that. And I went to school, you know, feeling accomplished. Like I actually accomplished something. And that was just because my mom said something that she actually didn't really mean. But I just took that as like, you know, a motivation. Like, let me see what I can go get. Like, let me see what life is really like.
See what I mean? See what I meant? You see what I meant, Yasim? Just exactly what I said. I see. I just saw the character with the things he was saying about her childhood. I was like, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, one is a fighter. We need a fighter on the show.
Yeah. That's good.
Listeners, be prepared. We got a fighter on the show. We got a fighter coming on the show. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say who it is. We got a fighter coming on the show soon.
Thank you.
She's definitely a fighter. But, like, if you, like, can you imagine a 15-year-old doesn't think about buying school stuff when I got
precis.
Money?
Precis.
You know what I'm saying? They don't, like, they'll think about, I don't know, what I thought about at 15 was maybe Air Max or something like that or a video game. You don't, like, the last thing in my mind was school stuff. Like, that shows that I guess you were mature at a young age. Like, you already saw life at a young age. Do you think your parents helped you to see that picture from a young age?
They actually did, because my dad was, like, he was, like, I would say an elderly guy, like, he had some age to him, so he had some experience to him.
He's a gentleman. Words of wisdom. Yeah. My God.
So he was actually the one with the knowledge. But the thing that actually happened in our household, like, he would actually observe me, like, you know, I had me echt observeren. And before something happens, he could tell me what's going to happen. But then I get mad that it happens.
Like, this and dude then, is right. Like,
What are you not telling me, you know? And that's where it actually started coming. Like, at a very young age, things would be explained to you on another level. Mm. Like, these days, I try to explain things to my kids so that they can understand it. But his level of explaining the situation was, like, a thought-out level.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, it was a thought-out level.
It's one thing to be able to have common sense and to be able to read between the lines, and it's a whole other thing to be able to share that with someone and to be able to teach them, like, this is how you read between the lines in life, this is how you accumulate common sense, Asatwara. Yeah, he was a legend, bro. Yeah.
And I basically want to go jump in. Gaat straks erin springen. I want to jump in later on that. Like, the hustle mindset right now, like, that also affected you to get out of that store, that Chinese store. Because, yeah, that wanneer je begin, like, you would say, like, when you start, is to start with a Chinese store, but not everybody gets that. Kijk, ik ben ook begonnen met een hustle, and it started by selling for Chinese stores. So I think when you're down there, it's like nah, only way is up, not down. So I think we should pick on it later, like the hustle mindset, if that also pushed you further and further up.
This is definitely divine intervention, because I'll tell you why. My first job
at 15 years old, was also in a Chinese shop at Sumit Homperstraat, Bukango, Aksamang. Sumit Homperstraat, mibedede aboy sa Everpak, Alading, Aardappel, and Oya, and Knoflook, Blom, all that. That was my very, very first job. And for some reason, it paid reasonably well, 400 SRP a month. But I don't know, it teaches me, like, a lot of people can come from different, from the same situations, and they'll have a total different outcome according to their mindset, according to what motivated them, and according to the way they think. Because I came out of there, if you ask me if I bought school stuff, I'll tell you no, bro. I blew it at a what's it called, cyber cafe with it under date. So yeah, no school spiller for me, bro. Oh, so that was your first job. Mm-hmm. At a shop working with Chinese. I know they see us as slaves, man. I have no further comment on that. But tell us about what's next. What's the next job? How at least that's your first taste of money and what it can do. What's the next one?
So my second job was actually with my dad. He had a refrigeration company. So during the holidays, I would actually work with him. Alhiel yung hatik on deck that the kombicha technis ingesteld was. And yeah, Prof said he used it to his advantage because he saw the potential and the growth. Because he actually had the mindset of, you know, the business is furthering on. So that was my second job. And elke vakantie heb ik daarna met mijn vader gewerkt. But we zijn bijna even koppig, so, you know, we butt heads a lot. You know, the mindsets were like almost the same, so, you know, we butt heads a lot. But I still, you know, we still made it through. So eventually, and when I was 18, I went to my second job. And that was gewoon a dealer in the casino.
Oh, you learned a lot there. I'm sure.
I just got up, same thing, going to school. I was like, yo, this is not going to work out. I'm a dip and I'm going to go get a job. And I did that for like a year. And I saw a lot. I learned a lot. It was an eye-opener for me. And after that, I did different jobs eventually. And because I did that one job, it actually elevated my safety to a different level, because you have to be fast with cash thinking.
Yeah.
So, you know, that actually elevated it. And I did a few things after that, but I never stood still. I always kept it going. I always kept it moving because I eventually noticed that everything has a different experience to it. And you can have different perspectives. Because eventually by working, like, for instance, I worked in a Chinese store where me and my friends would go shopping. Like, even though they know they will not buy something, they will unnecessarily ask, can I have this or can you do that? Yeah. And I eventually like explained to them, like, yo, like, you see it like that, but from a different perspective, you know, they already have to do a lot and you're giving them like extra work. And to be honest, like, for me, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say it's not fair, but I just wouldn't do that.
It's because you came, you experienced that. Yeah, you know, you know where what
it's
feels
the, it's
like.
The hustle, but it's also the respect to the hustle. Because it's you know, we're all out here trying to do something, but it's also the respect that comes with it.
Yeah. Need still sit there. Hone. You gotta move. You gotta keep moving.
All right. So that shows that you got a lot of humility in you, and at least a lot of empathy. I think
I am for sure an empath.
Really?
Yes, I am.
I always thought you were like, I don't know. I think that's what they call indigos, right? Mm-hmm. Empaths? Yeah. Okay, then I got it right.
Yeah.
No, but my thing is, I'm an empath for like people around me, situations around me. But when it comes to like the negative energy, I try to push that out as soon as I can. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, I just try to push that out as soon as I can.
Mm-hmm. Nice. See? Similarities. We're not running away. We push out the bad energy. We push out the negative energy. So, yeah, man. Okay. So you move from the Chinese store up to working with your dad. And then from there on, you move on to casino, right? If I'm correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what gave you the jump to start your own company or like your own business?
Well, in all honesty, it was my dad who jump started the business, because I actually just took over his business. He was the one that actually jump started the business. But at a very young age, I saw the creativity in things, as in trying to get faster solutions to things, trying to get things done quicker, but also better. In an efficient way, yes. And that's where I actually butted heads with my dad as well, because he would be doing something and I would like give him an idea, but the role that he has, you know, it's like, I don't get where you're coming from, so we're not gonna do that. But eventually down the line, he understood where I was coming from, but he was still on, you know, he's going to do his thing first. Like the idea he has in his mind, mm-hmm. everything said, he's going to do that first.
Yeah,
and if that doesn't work out, then is when he's going to go, you know, and I respected him for that. Like, you know, envisioning something and actually seeing if it's going to work or not. And in most cases, he would be hard on himself. But in most cases, I would also look at him like, you don't need to be that hard on yourself. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah. That was the thing that also got us butting heads, because I saw how hard he was on himself. You know, and he didn't see that. But the thing is, seeing someone in that position, it's like you want to help them, but you don't know how to help them. And through further conversations, I actually got to understand how he was and how he saw things. And I could relate to the most of the things that I actually saw in him. I see in myself as well.
So
he sounded like he was a tunnel vision guy. Like if he set his mind to something, he stuck to his word. Like, if you don't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything, right? So he sounds like that kind of guy. Like, if anything else from the outside comes in, bro, I'm trying to execute this because this is the vision and we're going to try to execute it with excellence. And I know how it feels sometimes to be a perfectionist. Also, Tuara, you just want to, you know, get 10 scores on it. It has to be exactly the way you had it in your mind or you failed. And it takes a lot from you sometimes to, you know, be like, okay, it's okay to mess up. Yeah, it takes a lot from that. Are you gonna jump in or you want me?
Oh yeah, definitely. But what I also said is it's like the whole story till now, like I'm talking about strong personalities and hustling from the beginning and working with dad, with your dad. It's almost like someone is holding a mirror about my stuff. So I'm literally like sitting and thinking like, yo, this person is not, it's for real, for real. Like you see that neat Aline Ye, so a mindset have. And it's also nice to see that there are people out there like almost with a similar story and the mindset and the way they're thinking and how they're motivating themselves to get things done gives me a really good feeling. Because then I'm sitting like, yo, as we meer van deze mensen hebben, we could share the message. And yeah, maybe, okay. Ik moet zeggen, ik heb het snel gezegd. But that message is that wanneer je iets doet, do it, motivate it, motivate yourself. You don't have to wait on anybody. And if you had butts with someone else that is also a strong personality, don't give up. Try to understand why the headbutting. Don't understand. Dus niet alleen het probleem moet je gaan checken, maar ook zien van, als ik me even zet in die persoon's schoenen, hoe zou het voelen? En dan put it back to your shoes. Dan ga je zien van, hey, we're not that different after all. That's why we're butting heads. So that is also one of the things I wanted to say.
It almost sounds like working with a mirror, you know, like looking at your dad and you're like, this is an exact mirror of myself. I think you got the chance to know who he is, because look, I'll tell you this honestly, a lot of parents know that this is my dad or my mom, they're my parents, but a lot of them don't get to find out who they are as a person. And it's most of the time you get to find that out, if you're lucky, at a later age when you're an adult now and when you got to go out and get it. And you were lucky enough to be with him on that journey from a teen. Yeah, I'm intrigued now to know, what are the most important stories you've learned from him in business? Like, what's the number one thing? Don't break this rule in business. What's that?
I could in generally say, like, satisfied customers. Because he eventually put me on to reading books. And doing self-research. And I got the perspective from where he was coming from. Because businesses need structures, but you also need like good relationships as well. So client relationships were also very important. The way he interacted with clients. And I often questioned myself, but he was the type of guy. He's gonna like, you know, hij gaat de offerte brengen. Hij gaat je uitleggen.
Oh, so he'll like, walk you through the whole.
He'll walk you through. Like the whole process. And I looked at him sometimes like, isn't that a lot of work? Because you're constantly just like going to offices constantly. But it was the interaction that was actually important. Because you're like leaving an imprint, actually. So he was business wise, like heel zakelijk, schriftelijk, zowel in persoon. But he held it at a balance. Eventually he gained a lot of business partners like that. There was a good balance to it. So that is something that I saw from him. So looking back now, I've noticed that I have to actually put myself out there if I wanted to achieve the kind of, you know, the kind of success that I want to achieve. You actually have to put yourself out there. You actually have to challenge yourself. You actually have to have a vision of where you want to go and what you want to do.
Networking, people, networking, you can't get there by yourself alone, like a lone wolf. That, like, even when you were born, there was a doctor there, a nurse to help you out. You know?
Wow, that's not networking. That's not networking. That's born, I mean, being like born need, into a network.
No, you need other people. That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody can say, I'm going to do this business and I don't need to build relationships and I don't need anybody else. Like, it'll just come. And if you approach business that way, you won't approach business as an entrepreneur who is trying to serve, because that was the guy who her dad was. He was a serving dude. He wanted to serve and to give. I am here at your service. And
if you want to pay for this service, you'll pay for it. Because of the relationship we've built, me from me giving you this service. And a lot of people go into business nowadays and they're like, hey, I'm going to go into business here for customers. I want to get 1 million customers in 6 months. And I'm going to rack in a whole lot of cash through them because they're going to pay me. It's not me serving them with my products and services, but they're going to pay me. And come on, man. Like, come on, network, build a relationship. Even if it's your customer, if it's your customer, like, build a relationship, network. You'll never know who they'll put you onto. Have you ever come across that? Someone you do giving a client such a good service that, you know, they'll put you on.
It actually happened to me a few times. In all honesty, it actually has happened because people will potentially see what your vision is. And if they can relate to that, you know, they'll eventually put you on to somebody. Because I've heard a lot of times, like, I know someone. And that's how the business venture actually starts opening for you.
Doors opening, man. Yeah, doors opening.
Not just doors, man. Like sometimes you're thinking you're networking and you fall into another network and then another work is like internetworking. So it's not just one door. Sometimes it opens like a whole floor.
Yeah.
So it depends what you want to do, where you want to go, and with who you want to go with. It's really interesting how sometimes you think, hey, nobody's out there. And sometimes, like me and Marlon, like I've told Marlon so many times, I'm not the person just going to sit and say, hey, let's work together. It takes really, really a lot of effort to open up and say, like, hey, let's work together, let's do this, let's do that. I'm not that kind of person. It's not that I do not want to work. It's just I have done so many things on my own, thinking that I'm this all-powerful multitasker, but we're not. We should supposed to delegate and help each other and work together. So once again, thank you, Marlon.
Don't thank me for that. I think most of the stuff that I've learned, I just don't wake up and just learn that. Mm-hmm. You learn it from other people. You learn it from other people's experiences. And that's the way to go. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about Aurora Tech Cool Services. Tell us about that. Like, man, you're in a market space that is all yours, I think. I don't know if you have any competitors, but when I first came across it, I was, oh, okay. Aurora Tech Cool Services. Tell us about the name, first of all. Like, where did the name came? Was it your dad? Was it you? Tell us about the name first. How was it born?
The name actually came from my dad. Yeah. He was actually doing research. Because when he started his business, he actually started in refrigeration. Alle Pepsi coolers die vroeger in de winkels waren, werden geserviced en gerepareerd door hem. That was Aurora. But he actually ventured off into water dispensers. Because when he actually started the business, de vraag was wel groot naar de koeltechniek voor ijskasten. Vooral voor bepaalde grote bedrijven, onderhoud. But eventually people started coming up to him and explaining to him about water dispensers, like, can you fix this? So he eventually started getting old water dispensers from people that were not using it anymore and starting trying to fix it. So when he noticed that he had the capability of satisfying certain customer needs, he actually ventured off into that. So after a few years, the market actually started to grow. mensen kochten meer waterdispensers. De vraag was groter naar waterdispensers. Dus hij stapte daarna over naar service en reparatie van waterdispensers. So Aurora actually came down to... the name was actually born through my father. He was the one that actually named the company. And Aurora actually has something to do with like Australian Southern Lights. It's like Milky Way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Off of the reflection of the water.
Yeah, I know. Because it's so close to the South Pole. It's kind of like the Northern Lights. Yeah. So that was how the name... How did he come up with that name? Like,
I honestly really wanted to know. And I asked him once. And the story behind it wasn't really that deep. It wasn't really that deep. I think he saw the name somewhere. And then he checked it up online and saw what it meant and just went for it. And it's called Aurora, and then I have Tech Pool Services.
The name definitely does ring a bell, though. Like, it sticks to you. Like, it sticks it's, up here. It definitely
is it not Aurora as in the Northern Lights?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
No, it's actually Northern or Southern Lights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where he got it from.
How long, like when did it start? Like how did he start?
It was in 2011, if I'm correct. 2011. So my dad and his best friend, they always did a lot of business together. And he was actually in the cool tech business, but he didn't actually know how to run a business. He only knew how to make stuff. He didn't know how to run a business. So my dad was like, look, let's start up a business. I'm going to run it and you're going to work in it. That's it. Like, you know, a 50-50 partnership.
Mm-hmm.
They got placed. They started the business. And my dad was just running it. I remember him leaving in the morning, coming back in the afternoon, you know, the basic routine. So that's how it actually started with the business venture of him and his friend.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, this guy came one day, his friend came one day and told him, there's a contract that I have right now, and it's big cash. Like, it's big cash. Like, it's a good money idea. But I can't take it because I have a lot of work on me.
Mm.
So my dad went home, he checked the papers, and he was like, okay. So he actually knew certain things when it came to refrigeration work because he was around my dad, his best friend a lot.
Yeah.
So he had an idea. It was only to execute it now.
Mm.
So he was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So Tun was a circle group of companies. That was the first company he worked for. And the job was at a certain rate and the quality was good that these people actually started like bringing down more refrigerators.
Put in, you know, because Pepsi was, it was starting to boom like.
Hey guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah?
I cordially wear wegvalla.
Hoor je ons nu?
Ja. De internet, oké, mij verontschuldigen hiervan, maar mijn internet drop van tijd tot tijd. So, please bear with me. Yeah, that's the sad thing about my internet right now. But yes, you can go. Thank you.
Yes. So the first company was Circle, and they started bringing down a lot of refrigerators. And the work started progressing from there. And people started approaching him from the work floor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people started approaching him on the work floor, and that's how it actually went further. And he did refrigerations, he did water dispensers, he did freezers. Like, the general things that fall under refrigeration work he actually did.
That's how you guys started. That's how it was born. I was all done. Nice. And a big contract from the get-go. It was meant to be. Trust me, it was meant to be. All right. And yeah, I guess you being around, that's how you got to know about, you know, how business goes and how what's one of the things that challenge you now that you're the one running everything? What's the main thing that you're like, I don't see me breaking, because I know you're a fighter, right? And you must have like at least one challenge where you're like, I don't see a breakthrough from this, at least in the next year, but I'm doing it in 3 months. Yeah. Let me hear it.
So one of the key focus now.
Problem.
You got different aspects of business. You got like, you got marketing, and you gotta have administration down. Then you gotta have like what's it called? Your financials down and accounting and all that. How the money's coming in, how it's going out. What's the cost and expenses? A lot of people do great on marketing, but they'll do bad at expenses. A lot of people do great on administration, but they'll do bad at customer service. You know, I know you got that one down though. Like customer service is a must for you. And yeah, like what are one of those areas where you're like, it's still a little bit challenging for me, and I wanna have it on my grip.
Okay, for me, it's actually turning my hustle into a solid business.
That
would be for me. And I wouldn't per se say that it's challenging. I'm just trying to find the right way to it.
Oh, like navigate towards.
Yes, navigating towards the goal.
Because
right now, the way I'm working, I'm approaching everybody on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I'm selling the product, the ID, the service. I'm selling it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a bigger vision in mind. So I want to build my business to like with a structured foundation.
Okay. So we're talking about a good foundation to go with Americans say corporate. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Steph, you got anything to fill in?
No. Ik heb geluisterd vooral dat stukje wat ze net zei. I want to build a solid business. If you might conclude, okay. You say you started with a contract on the get-go. Okay, nu komen alle vragen. Je hebt gelijk. I was really listening to the part where she was starting from the stukje van waar the refrigerators naar binnen kwamen en how the contracts and everything. It just exploded. But nu zegt ze ook that she wants to work on a solid business. A solid business bouwen is going to take time. Dedication, which she's already doing that. So, ja, ik wil gaan in die richting van Guyana, maar we gaan vandaag niet vandaag doen. Okay, you have seen how the economy in Guyana grows, right?
Yes. So,
if you're looking to your business, is there something you can learn from them where you can say like, hey, I'm gonna work on my business to be really solid? Like, is there certain things you have taken off that? Let me see if you have been watching them.
You mean like, because that's even a hard question for me, like in the development of Guyana, who were
ondernemerschap kunnen aanpassen met de groei van Guyana?
Not per se, but more in like, als je goed kijkt hoe ze hun business draaien, like in economic development, how to be really solid, like a solid economy, hebben ze bepaalde aanpassingen gedaan. Kijk, oké. Okay. For me, it's like,
for my business, at least, with the development in Guyana, I know there's a lot of injection of investors coming in, investors mm-hmm. buying in to mm-hmm. invest in the oil industry and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've noticed is that there are certain industries that are booming, but the policies alongside to help fosters that growth is also being made like on the spot. So you got the government and small and middle businesses working together to, you know, to be able to take on that growth that is happening right now.
Eventually, the government is actually helping you
mm-hmm.
to put it in that way,
mm-hmm.
roughly, because I've actually been there.
Oh, see, see?
About like 2 months ago. And in all honesty, they're actually getting help. Because I remember like every household gets a certain amount of money so the kids can buy their school stuff. That's helping them out a lot. Elderly people get a certain amount of money. It's helping out a lot. So they're actually helping people. And when you help people, they will eventually help themselves as well. Because sometimes I see it around me a lot. We're helping ourselves, but there's not enough
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
help or like support.
We need some backup, man.
If it does not come from the higher authority, you're just going to be struggling.
Yeah.
To put it that way. And their government is actually helping them. Just like what Marlon said, they're making choices on the spot so that things can
flow.
Things can flow.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed like if you want to set up a business today in Guyana, and you have a good business plan, they'll loan you the money. Bro.
Yeah.
Like,
but also,
uh-huh.
But also, if you're looking at the to be a solid economy, right now Guyana is helping their inhabitants, right? But if you see where he goes, he's not only going on the coastline. He's going inside the country, the hinterlands, the interior. He's going all the places.
Yeah,
he's spreading that message. And he's also putting in money. Like, he is taking money from oil, putting it into people. And then he tell people, produce. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes up contracts with Trinidad, Barbados, and Tobago, just like those country, like those islands around him.
Caribbean region. Yeah.
Especially the ones where Guyana has close contact with. He's maybe also a bit focusing on the fish grants he wants from Suriname, because as we know, Guyana has overfished their fish population. But they are also investing in sustainability, as in sustainable businesses. Like, they want to make their own grain, for instance. They want to plant their own soya. They're even connecting the dots with Brazil to work on sorghum and soya and corn. They're also making certain deals with India for certain to grow more sugar. And sugar is a commodity. You should not handle it as a good. It's a commodity. You could literally invest out of it. And sugar can be used in so many things and so many levels.
Yeah, I mean, like 90% of the products.
Yeah. So they're taking the money, let's say 100 million. Yeah. They're taking 100 million and investing 5 million in this, 5 million in that, 5 million in that. In a certain way, Guyana is going to produce so many things on their own. They don't need outside anymore, or let's say they want to drop half of it. So okay, this is like half import, half export.
Let me ask, I think both of y'all, because this is also something that I'm sitting with, looking up to Guyana and how they do business.
Yeah.
What would you guys say that is a good business model to copy from them and implement it in a small business here? Because obviously that's a country. It's hard to compare, like, okay, what is the whole country doing that I can do in my small little business that has like 3 employees or something, you know? So what would you say is the right thing? I know networking is important, and I think I have an idea, but I want to hear from you guys first, because I want to advise you guys on a move that I'm trying to make, but I want to see what do you guys think? You can go first, Steph.
Okay. First of all, you must make your own table where you sit and you cut the pie. I have said it so many times that you know me already. The thing is, Guyana does not sit with everybody and just talk like, yeah, let's do business and the other. No. They precision partake in meetings where they know, hey, I can get my cut out of here. I can get this done. What I'm also seeing, they're doing a lot of protectionism, they call it, like protectionism economy. Something I learned on school. And that is protect your economy. What I mean by that, you can have competition with maybe outsiders or have so many companies, but make sure that in certain levels, they don't compete with you. Make sure that your product is still sold. Make sure your product has been exported. That's one of the things. You can implement that in your company. Make sure your product sells. Network a lot, but do know with who you network with, why you network with that person. Also another thing, not everything what you see, not every door that opens, it's a good door. You should check out first, prospect, and check out like, hey, is this something for me? And like I said, make your own table so you can get better leverage what you want and what they want and like balance that. Yes, so that is one of the things that I learned from the Guyana economics. Mm-hmm. Like you can do business with the outside, but make sure you protect your side of business also. Don't go into much mix max with everybody, but be careful who you deal with. And if you deal on your table, because the house wins every time. I think she knows what that means.
I think leverage is an important thing. If you know what leverage you have and what advantages you have as a business owner, or what, not only as a business owner, but what the business itself has as leverage. And I think if you tie that up to competition, it makes it more safer to partner up with competition. I would advise that, because you'll learn more from a competitor than if you try to fight against him. So if you can get him onto your table, as you said, that would be the good thing. But what you also pinpointed on, or what you also talked about, is networking. And I think that's my way to go now. If I wanted to even do business in Guyana, it was because of Marlon Joseph. We had him on the show the other day, and it's a better move as a Surinam's person or a Surinam's bedrijf. It's a better choice. The reason why is because of culture. There's a different business culture here in Suriname, and you can't take that
to Guyana, it won't work, especially in marketing, because there's a whole different marketing strategy there in Guyana. So the reason why I would advise anyone to partner up with a networking organization in Guyana, that would be half work done. So you won't have to go look for this and that person within your your market, or you won't have to look for that much clients or leads because you're already in a network organization. And it's so coincidental that they also named it Together We Win. So if you have a table and you want everyone else to come to your table to, you know, then break bread with them to your advantages, you want a win-win situation. And I guess, Together We Win Business Network is probably the next move for me if I would try to implement Guyana's business model towards my small business, because I want to learn from that culture first to know how what makes them think from the inside, and then I can implement it to my business firsthand over there in Guyana. What would you say, Ingrid? Because you obviously been there a lot. What are you thinking about going over there next to Guyana and offering your services? Like, what are some of the services that you guys offer also at Aurora?
Well, we do maintenance and repairs for any model or type of water dispensers. And literally everything that comes to a water dispenser. So the service, the maintenance, that's actually the care of your water dispenser, is it can get contaminated, there can be bacteria, you know, just keeping it clean so that you're also, you know, supplying yourself with clean water, because they will eventually get dirty. But if you keep up a high maintenance, you could actually have, you know, a better product, and it goes a longer way. And for the repairs, we basically can fix almost anything when it comes to the water.
Because as a future customer, because I might be one of your customers soon, I'm thinking about a water dispenser, because I would purchase a water dispenser just because I don't want to drink tap water, and number two, because I want to make sure that the water that I'm drinking is clean water. But what I'm getting out of this is that we don't always get clean water out of the dispenser. Is that
in most cases, if it's not well taken care of, you're not going to be getting clean water out of it, because there have been studies shown that the majority of the world right now, there are a lot of places that do not have clean water. And there are certain health hazards that come with that as well. So our job is actually to make sure that it's clean, it's safe. And if something needs to be fixed or needs to be done, that you're just at one spot.
Oh, so you guys are not even only there for the maintenance, but also for the repairs and, you know, everything that has to do with to stay healthy, drinking clean water. Ah, nice, nice, nice. All right. So, where can people find Aurora Services? And before I get to that, give us some advice for the young people, for people who are, you know, aspiring to start a business, and what's the go-to thing to start from? Like, that's a question a lot of people ask. Yeah, I will on the name machine. Wow, who begin it?
Okay, except the part of bumping heads frequently. That's
in all honesty, it all boils down to doing it. Have an idea, know what you want to do. Do a little research as well.
Yeah.
do as much research as you can. Let me not say it's so shallow. Do as much research as you get. Gain as much knowledge as you can. And eventually, you have to sell to the people.
Yeah.
Is it a feeling? Is it a physical product? It all boils down to actually doing it. Because if you actually don't start doing it, you're not going to know how to actually do it. So it all boils down to that.
So your approach to it is to gain as much knowledge as you can from whatever you're trying to start. So if you want to sell hats, gain as much knowledge and do as much research as you can on hats, man. It'll help you sell hats like crazy. Trust me.
Trust Marlon. By the way, guys, if you want to like sell to Fizz, he has that. He spent a lot of time on learning about salted fish.
Yeah, like simple things like salted fish. I went in depth on it, like the chemistry of salted fish. What happens when you add salt to fish? What's the chemical reaction to that? And a whole lot of stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's the current market doing with salted fish? How is it made by my competitors? Well, how can I do it better? And this was all an idea. I never even started. It was like a year's long research. How do customers interact with salted fish? How can I get a better package for it? Why do people buy salted fish when they walk into the shop? Even though I'll list this in a need, why would they buy it? You know, what's the presentation looks like? So I think research is, you know, like, listen to her, man. Like, she's hitting nails on the head right now.
Yeah. And especially that research part where she said, like, take your time on research. Not, you should take forever, but take your time. It's like, for example, I'm going to keep saying it. I think I will be saying it in every podcast episode. If you take your phone and you check how many hours you're spending on, let's say, Facebook or TikTok. Let's say you're on Facebook at least 3 hours. Take 1.5 hours of that 3 hours, switch it, and search about an idea you have for making money. Let's, for instance, say she is in refrigerators and Marlon is in salt fish. Yeah, and just use that time, go on Google, and check out what you can do with your idea, you know? So don't spend it all on social media. Social media is good. You can get ideas from there too. But social media isn't everything. You have Google. You have Google Scholar. That has more like recommended scientific papers.
Speaking about social media, How can people find you? What's the go-to if they need services at Aurora? What's the go-to places for you and for Aurora?
Okay, so I have a page on Facebook, Aurora Technical Services, and my phone number.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And only use it for business people. Come on. I know the voice is, you know, it's killing it, but come on. If you call.
Also on the page.
So. It's also on the page. All right, then. So, yeah, that's it. That's our episode today at the Optimist Podcast. We hope you've learned a lot. We hope we've, you know, motivated you and inspired you. Take the tips, you know, and don't just sit with it. Make sure you make some work of it. Obviously, you heard from a go-getter today. She just got up and said, you know what? I'm going to go and get it. And it ended up at Aurora Technical Services, man. Just on the name of you. There's, any last words, Steph?
No, everything is fine. Everything is clear. I don't know, man. Like, this was a really good all episode. Right, like, yeah, we should get more people like this, man, on the show. Like,
I love really it, man.
Yeah.
Any last words, Ingrid? Shout out someone. We need a shout out. Shout out to someone, because I know you got like a lot of people who influence you.
Even a shout out of your business is also fine. Like, shout out to Aurora. We know you dig. It's just a joke. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, if I would give a shout out, first and foremost, I would let my mom listen to the podcast so she could hear this. A shout out to my mom. And shout out to my friends who also inspire me, who also influence me. Things from that I actually think better and be in a better mindset and a better mind space. Shout out to them. And yeah. Shout out to you guys for having me here.
Hey, it was an honor too.
It was a new experience. I was
nervous, you're welcome.
But, you gave me a chance to, open up. And yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to a part two then.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Because if this is only the trailer, we need a part two. So we'll definitely having you back here on another episode.
Yeah, all right, guys, I think
that's a wrap.
That's a wrap, people. And thank you for listening. I hope you see you into the next episode. The next guest will be a surprise. Let's keep it that way. So Marlon, take it away.
Boogie Demawa Hin is a fighter. But
we won't keep searching for fighters.
Take all the tips that you got today. And I hope you guys learned a lot. Check us out on Facebook at Grassroots Media for the newest updates on the podcast. We're dropping the new guest every week there, so that you can ask questions also about the guest. We'll be happy to ask those questions. And just go ahead, Grassroots Media on Facebook. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the Optimus Podcast. Signing out. Love you. Braza.